Because if some of you were raised by your dad, and some of you did have dads, but he was feminized. See, and I don't mean that you're sissified or something like that. Feminized just means that you think like a female. Emotionally, you respond, you react like a female. When another female or when a female gets a male that responds to them in that way, they can control that male because they know that he's not a female and they're operating in their natural habitat. Now, what makes this relationship go between the male and the female is that if the male was didactic and he said, "Baby, I said no." Yeah, but that. Gentlemen, respect and give her a listening and caring ear with a heart full of compassion. She gonna follow you from room to room for 20 minutes talking about what she wants to do with that extra $50. And all you're gonna say the second time is, "Baby, I said no. Now let's go and have a cup of coffee." And then look at her and say, "You're so cute when you get angry." Now, you're not patronizing her. You're telling the truth because you love her. Then she's going to cry because that's a natural thing, guys. She starts crying. You don't want to see your woman cry. Now, once she starts crying, listen to me, guys. Once she starts crying because she really thought that she can get the $50 for you, you got to go in the other room and sit down on the bed and ask yourself a question. Do you really need the $50? Because when your wife cries, and I'm not talking about fake tears, you know, "You make me," because ladies, don't try that fake stuff, because a dude can figure out when you're didactically lying. So don't try to manipulate him. He knows when it's real tears because he knows you. Then you come out and say, "Baby, come here." "I don't want to come there to you." I thought about it. I changed my mind. It's not that important. I guess we can wait later on to next period. Here, go ahead. Go ahead. Take the kid to the mall. You need me to take you?" She's going to hug you around your neck and kiss you, boy, and make you feel so good. You made the decision. She submitted to you, but she's a woman. She cries. She's not fussing and cussing and trying to hit you and say, "It's my money anyhow, and you going to give it to me, and mama told me you was going to be like this," and then the neighbors hear about it and everything. Oh, please rid me from that kind of insanity. Now, let's talk about what she needs to do. I got a full series here. I got to talk about what she needs to do in the relationship with the man. And don't worry, ladies, because it's going to appear that I'm coming down hard on you, real hard, but I will come down on the men afterwards what he needs to do. I just like to do ladies first. Okay. And let me share this with you. I have been accused by most women that hear me give marriage counseling post or pre, that I am biased against women and that I lean towards the man. Well, that is not true. It just happens to be that the formats that I'm using starts with the ladies first, and that's what I'm starting with. She needs to allow the man to admit his need for compassion. Now listen to me. She needs to allow her man to say, "Baby, I need you to come and put your arms around my neck and kiss me on my mouth right now. I just want to smell you and taste you. Come here, girl." She ain't gonna miss raising her hand and say, "Oh, no, 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 no. No, you know we only do that every 4 weeks, and it's not the fourth Friday night. You don't get that." What kind of mess is that between a married couple? What is this? Is this to what? What is this? Holding the dude hostage? He has a right to tell you that he needs you to be compassionate towards him. You don't have a right to tell him to go look at the calendar. I remember I worked with a guy who was a truck driver in the LAPD. I'll just call him Willie. And Willie came to me and he said, John, how do you get along with your wife? I said, very well, thank you. What? He says, can you have sexual relationships with her whenever you want? I said, no, not really. He said, so what are the factors? I said, well, if I've said something wrong to her, if she's not happy in her life, if something is not going right, she's not emotionally and psychologically ready to get with me. So, yeah, I mean, I got to check out whether I'm doing everything right, whether I'm taking the kids to the park or to the beach on the regular, whether I clean up the dog mess, because at that time I was raising German Shepherds. And I said, whether the house is clean, whether her car is running right, whether she got the better car. I said, all those things depend. I said, so what about you? And he told me she got me on the calendar thing. I only get some every 6 weeks on a particular Friday night. And if that time is missed, I got to wait another 6 weeks. I just looked at him. I said, what? Oh, yeah, he divorced her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else does she need to do? She needs to ignore the media representations of who she thinks she married. See, I am so sick of people like Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Phil, and the rest of these crackpots, especially the ones in the black community that's supposed to be the spokesman for black marriages, and their married life is tore up. Have you ever looked at the relational life of rich people that try to tell other people how to live? Look at Dr. Phil, divorced that woman he had. Look at Oprah. She been whoring with Stedman for years. I mean, come on, people. Is this who we looking towards? Are we looking towards the famous people? Oh, look at the bishop and his daughter. No, you don't want to look there, because that's hell and chaos all mixed up. Don't be looking at no. Listen, you. When my daughters grew up in this house, when my wife was alive, we sat down at the dinner table every night and had dinner. And I told them something. I told them, I said, listen, said, I'm a pastor and I'm not going to allow any misbehaving in this life to bring shame to the ministry. So if any of you are thinking about misbehaving, raising some eyebrows, doing some shocking things. I was talking to my teenage daughter. I said, you're about to get your behind whooped right here at the table, because I'm not standing for it. And I told all three of the women, I run this house. I run this. And everybody's going to do exactly what I say, exactly the way I say to do it. And I said that in love. Love my wife. When she passed away, and both of my daughters yet love me this day. Men, don't ever be afraid to stand up and tell the people in the household that you are the head of that household. Flip what the people in ministry and the other people say about those situations. Those situations do not work in the real world at all. See, when you listen to people today in this postmodern society, they say that there is equal headship in the house, that the woman is in an equality mode with the man in raising the family and raising the house. That is not necessarily so. That is not necessarily so. And I think that the man has to talk about that all the time. Ladies, you need to be a constant friend to your husband. I didn't say his best friend. I said a constant friend. Because his best friend could be the guy that he watches the Laker games with. As you don't have to like basketball. His best friend could be the guy that he goes golfing with. You don't even like green grass. You like the artificial turf. But you are to be his constant friend, ladies. Meaning that when he does things that irritate you, such as pick wax out of his ear, and leave the little, what do you call the little white thing with the cotton on, the Q-tip, leaves the Q-tip on the side of the coffee table with wax in it. Now, that's kind of offensive to a lot of ladies, but let's talk about that. You see the Q-tips with the wax out of his ears, and he leaves it on the table and grabs the phone and runs into the TV room to watch my Lakers beat San Antonio. Why you want to cuss? Why you want to get on it? While he's on the phone with his friend, his best friend, you jealous now. You want to come in there and argue about a Q-tip, to wit, all you had to do is just pick it up and say, look at my honey bunny leaving this Q-tip on the thing. Don't worry, guys, we're going to get to you. And ladies, if that's offensive to you and you said you would refuse to pick up the unused part of the Q-tip, that's the other end that he didn't put in his ear, and put it in the trash, why wouldn't you? He's your husband. Do you love him? Because I'm telling you, a couple of days ago, they had this big train wreck where 25 people died on that train coming home. Now, you think about your husband coming home on the train and the train wrecks and he's killed. You'd be begging for a Q-tip that's dirty to clean up. You'd beg to pick up his socks and put it in the hamper. You'd be smelling his old dirty socks just trying to pick up a whiff of his body odor. But he'd be gone. Love that man. Ladies, you need to assist that man as he discovers his own strengths. Yes, assist him, especially if he's African American, because they're going to hire him last. They're going to hire a white guy first and a black woman second, and maybe him. And now I think I hire the white woman before I hire the black man. So you need to assist him because he's got to put up with that. Here I am, 64 years old, and I'm grateful for getting some secular employment sometime. I'm very grateful to the guy that continues to hire me every semester at the school. I'm not going to ask for a second class to teach. I'm not going to do that. I'm grateful for what God has given me because I have to trust God in everything. And I told the guy I'm grateful. But I know that it's difficult for a black man. I have to prove myself before any other nationality of man. I mean, man, look, an Iranian can come over here from Iran and be teaching philosophy one, just as good as me. They'd hire him before they hire me. So, ladies, if you marry to a brother, you need to assist him as he discovers his strengths and stop jumping on his back when he's not moving ahead at the rate that you think he ought to get there. Come on, it's taking you too long. It's taking you too long. And he says, well, baby, I'm looking. And then you don't know how it is when he's out there trying to get something to make it a little bit better for the family, and he's rejected. When any man, white, black, Hispanic, anything, is rejected, and he knows that he can do the job. I recall once I went to an agency where I was going to be counseling people, and I think I'm a pretty good counselor. I'm not bragging or nothing. I just believe that I'm a pretty good counselor. When I was pastor in the church, I was always a good counselor. People would have a problem. They'd come in my office, and the problem was resolved within 20 minutes, and everything worked. You gave biblical counseling. If they did it, everything worked. I had people that tried to do what I could do and couldn't do it and just ended up wrecked. God has gifted certain pastors with this ability to do what I'm doing. 20 hours of pre- and post-marriage counseling on a web. Most pastors can't even talk 20 minutes without saying, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Get out of here. What else, ladies, do you need to do? Ladies, you need to be comfortable with your own sexuality. That's right. Some of you gentlemen, I was going to say jive time. Some of you gentlemen have married women that are not comfortable with their own sexuality. And the reason, gentlemen, that they're not comfortable with their own sexuality is because if they were raised by a parent that had negative connotations about sex and having sex, and the men that the parents were with, the female parent was with, that connotation is going to be negative. And that connotation will be passed on in a negative way to the daughter. It sounds like this when the mother says, and honey, whatever you do, don't let that man touch you there. Don't let that man do this to you. Don't, because he's going to want to do that. Like Jethro, he would just come in and da-da-da. And the little girl's listening. She's 7, 8, 9 years old, because some of these women are stupid enough to have that conversation at that age with a minor. My goodness, and the minor doesn't even understand what ovulating is all about. Jesus, you don't have those kind of, but they do. and they talk out loud about it. Well, that means that you will be inhibited. I recall it was years ago when I was married, because my wife wasn't always as sexually excited as I was. And I never understood that, but I loved her and accepted her for who she is. And no, we did not have intercourse before we got married, because we were both Christians. And I wasn't a Christian when I met her, but I never have been the kind of guy that just goes around jumping in bed with people. It just don't happen. And let me talk to some of you brothers that were like that. And I say were because I'm assuming that this is a Christian conversation. And I have a lot of male friends of mine that we talk about, and they just say, so you was just a little punk. And I told them, yeah, basically. Yeah. So he said, why, were you afraid? I says, no, I was indifferent. He said, what? I says, well, number one, I wasn't very happy with my body, and I didn't want nobody seeing it, let alone a girl. What I wanted to see me naked for, even when I was a teenager. To me, I was indifferent to stuff like that. I've always been like that. And that's why when, you know, people accuse me of being like that. What? No. No. That moment has to be between two persons that love each other, a man and a woman, of course, and I'm thinking about if they're going to have that with each other, there has to be the thought of, well, I'm going to keep this decent and marry this person because I don't want to give her, if you're a guy thinking this, I don't want to give out the impression that I'm just using her and abusing her and just going to dump her. I want to love her. And if she's had other male boyfriends and they've done that to her, well, her expectations is that you just a dog too. You see, brothers. So I didn't grow up like that. But I found out that my wife was not as lively as I was about the sexual experience, only to find out after I'd been married a number of years that she had been molested by a couple of family members back in the Philippines. And that turned on a whole new light for me. Of course, she does not approach it the way that I approach it. Some of you gentlemen out there, when you have wives like that, when you sit down and have those discussions with them, then you will know why your wife is the way she is. There was a guy I used to pastor him in the church, and he used to complain about his wife not being as lively, only to find out that his wife, too, had been molested. Well, you would think that he would have worked through it. No. He kept having affairs on her, and she finally dumped him. Finally dumped him. Because that's the way it usually ends. Because if you don't love a person enough to love them where they are, you guys listen to me now, love them where they are. Well, no, I want to add this, and that's what I want. And, oh, the whole thing is nothing but a selfish thing. You're just a selfish sex machine. If you don't get your grunt on, you're going to destroy her life? Doggish people. Just doggish. And then try to bring God in it. Then try to bring God in it. And God forsake, God help if there's children in the union, and the children are watching this insanity go on. Well, she needs to know. She needs to know. Ladies, you need to know that your man is not. Oh, I'm sorry. What she needs to do. You need to know, lady, that you're not just looking for a little piece of action. Let me say this to you, ladies, because I know some ladies out there. Oh, God. Man, that's why I no longer Christian date females. I no longer date them. Nah. Well, maybe we can hook up. What? Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you supposed to be?